How many of you have ever had an important sit-down meeting with somebody where you wanted to make sure you kind of said the right thing? Raise your hand if you've ever done that. All right, that's what's happening in the text here. Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 books of the Bible, he is having a sit-down, really important meeting with all the leaders
of a church that was located in the city of Ephesus. Paul actually started the church, so I'm sure he knew a bunch of these people very personally, loved them. And so he sits down with them, and in this text, he kind of reviews his ministry among them, reminds them of some things. He encourages them, instructs them, advises them in several areas. And Paul, in the text, you know, it's clear that he believed he would never see their face again. So, I mean, think about that. If you had somebody that you had to have a sit-down meeting with and you knew you would never see their face again, maybe it was one of your kids, maybe it was your grandkids, maybe it was a friend of yours, and you knew you were going to sit down with them, last chance to ever talk to them, think about the weight, you know, of that. Well, that's what's happening in the text. That's the context of what's going on. So what I want to do is I want to pick up the conversation towards the very tail end of the conversation, right before he's going to hug them and say goodbye. These are some of the last things he ever says to these people. Go to verse 33, and we're going to pick up the tail end of this conversation, all right? It says in verse 33, Paul said to them, imagine all these men sitting around him, and he says, I have coveted no man's silver, gold, or apparel. In other words, I didn't want your stuff. I wasn't like greedy for your stuff when I was there. Look at verse 34. Yea, he says, you yourselves know, you know, that these hands, he probably held up his hands like this. He said, these hands have ministered unto my necessities, my needs, and to them that were with me. In other words, I worked, you know, to make a living. I didn't mooch off of you guys. In verse 35, I have showed you all things. Okay, in other words, he was an example. And he said, how that, so laboring, working, you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. So now he's going to quote Jesus. What were Jesus' words? How Jesus said, say it with me, what did Jesus say? It is more blessed to give than to receive. So what does that mean to be blessed? All right, well, I think we all know what that means. You know, we say, boy, I sure was blessed the other day. Or we say, man, let me tell you about a blessing that happened to me. Or, hey, let me tell you about my blessing, right? Something happened that brought joy to you. Something happened that brought happiness to you. It was a blessing. Well, here Jesus uses the term more blessed. Well, more blessed indicates, right, that I've already been blessed. I can't be more blessed if I haven't first been blessed. How many of you have been blessed? Say amen by God. How many of you would say, okay, God's blessed you, right? Okay, well, how can I be more blessed, right? How can I take my blessings and be more blessed? In your handout it says, and this is what Jesus taught, right? He taught that I am more blessed when I learn how to take my existing blessings and share them with others. He said, I'm more blessed when I learn how to give, to share. There's a word for that, and it's the next blank in your handout, and I want you to write this word, and there's a word for that when I share my blessings, and it's called generosity. And in your handout, I want you to write that in. It's called generosity, and generosity is the heart of God. It's the heart of God. You notice the title of the message this morning is called The Heart of God. Generosity is the heart of God. I mean, think about it. Go to the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, and what is that verse about? It's about God being generous, is it not? It says, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave. He gave his only begotten son. Why? Why was he so generous? So that we could have everlasting life. And Jesus is saying here, hey, he's saying, hey, listen, you are blessed in order that you might be a blessing to someone else. God's heart should be our heart. And I want you to know that God's heart is to share. I mean, you think about God and how amazing he is. You think about the fact of heaven. Just think about heaven. Heaven is God's creation, God's invention. In fact, the Bible calls it God's throne room. It's called God's house. And God opens up his home to us. It's like God wants to share his home with us. Heaven is his throne room. He could be selfish and be like, this is my throne room, nobody else. But God opens up his home to us. God opens up his house and says, that you are welcome to come into my home. He actually shares heaven with us. He's generous. He shares his grace with us. He is so generous to the point that he gave us his only begotten Son that we might have everlasting life. Our God is so generous. And many people, I'm afraid, are blessed, but then they live their life using most or all of those blessings that they've received on themselves. And then they die. And in reality, and really in many respects, it's really kind of a wasted life, you know, because they just spend it all on themselves. We saw a funny old movie. We love old nostalgic movies, you know. And we saw this old movie. It was hilarious. It's a black and white movie. And it's about this guy. Just saw it this week. That's why it's fresh on my mind. It's about this guy that inherited a bunch of money. His parents died. He got all this money, millions and millions, real wealthy. And he's this playboy. He's just going out living for himself every day, doing whatever makes himself feel good. And the lady in the story, of course, that he ends up falling in love with, she's just this hardworking woman, you know, that barely gets by but is very generous and giving. And she's trying to convince him to be generous and to be kind and not to just spend money on himself, but to help other people. You know, what are you doing to help other people with your money? And so he's all frustrated, and finally he says to her, he says, would you agree with me that if I could take my money and if I could help one person, if I could make one person happy, he said, then my life would be worthwhile. And she's like, well, yeah, I guess so. He says, okay then, I'm making me happy. That is not what she had in mind. And that is not what God has in mind. The word for that is selfish, right? That's called being selfish. That's called being self-centered. That's called being self-consumed. That's called being narcissistic, right? We're just consumed with ourselves. It's all about me, right? So you say, well, Pastor Dan, are you saying that I have to take my blessings and give them all away? No, absolutely not. Now, there was a time period when the kingdom was at hand that was a requirement. Remember the rich young ruler? Sell everything you have, give it away to the poor, and come and follow me. Today, that's not a requirement that you give away everything you have, okay, and that you go, you know, live under the bridge, right? No, but what is God's plan for a believer today? How does God expect a believer what does he expect us to do with his blessings in our life? Well, this text is very clear, very simple. I think we're all going to study and learn today. Number one is this. The first thing God expects us to do with his blessings is God has blessed you to provide for your needs. That's legitimate. Look at verse number 34. After you write that in, look at verse 34. All right, here Paul says to them, he says, yea, ye yourselves know that these hands, talking about his own hands, have ministered unto my necessities. Paul had needs, just like all of us in here do. Paul liked to eat, I'm sure, all right? And how many of you in here would be honest, you're in church, you like to eat? Raise your hand if you like to eat. You kind of gotten used to it. All right, you like to eat. Rich, your hand better have gone up, bro. All right. Rich can eat you under the table, let me tell you. But you know what it takes to eat? What's it take? It takes money. Believe me, I know. I mean, I look at the grocery receipts at the end of the month. Denise spends it at the grocery store, and then I look at all the receipts and go, oh, mercy. It takes money to eat. There's nothing wrong. Listen, and Paul basically says, look, I worked with my hands to provide for my needs. There is nothing wrong with a believer taking a portion of God's blessings, taking a part of what he's blessed you with, and then using that to meet your physical needs. That's valid. That is legit. If we're physically able to work and God blesses our work with income, God allows and even expects for us to meet our physical needs out of that income. Great example is the church at Thessalonica. Paul had, there was a problem there in that church. And the problem was this, that they were so consumed with the coming back of Jesus that many of them had quit their jobs and they were sky watching. They'd quit their jobs. They were convinced Jesus was coming any day, so they quit their jobs and were looking up at the sky waiting for Jesus to come back. They wanted to be ready, you know. Well, the problem with that is day after day went by, and they ran out of money, I'm sure, right, because they weren't working. And so they began to go house to house mooching off other people in the church that were working. And with that came idle gossip and idle chit-chat, and all these issues were happening, you know, because they weren't working, they weren't busy, so they're running their mouths. And so Paul writes to them, and you know what he tells them? Look in your handout. Look at it. He says, 2 Thessalonians 3:10. He says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he," what? Get out, get a job if you expect to eat. He says, you should not expect others to pay your way. All right, why? He says, because you need to work so you can eat. You've got to learn to pay your own way. Well, so we know that's legitimate. Here's the obvious question, I think, though. If God allows me to take part of his blessings and meet my needs, then the obvious question is, what are our needs? As Americans, I think we have a problem defining needs. And I think that there's a blurry line there, right? Because I'll guarantee you there are Christians that would stand up and tell you, I mean, they would just straight up tell you, satellite TV and NFL package is a need in my life. That is a need. Well, is it a need? No. You know, two or three times a week eating out, you know, new car, big screen TV, latest cell phones, computers, brand name clothes. Didn't say any of that was sinful. Didn't say it was wrong. Not preaching against it, all right? I'm just saying those aren't necessities. Those are creature comforts, luxuries, right? Do you realize that the average American, really all Americans pretty much probably, they live better than most kings did in times past? I mean, do y'all have a flushing toilet? Do you have a car? Do you have a refrigerator? You have a washer and dryer? I mean, you live better than most kings did. The Bible defines what needs are in 1 Timothy 6. It says, "We brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." He says, if you've got food, you got to have food to sustain physical life. He says, you got to have clothing to cover yourself. We need shelter to protect ourselves from the elements so that we can exist and live. He says, but if you've got that, those are your needs. He says, with that, be content. The point is this, is that he's saying it's perfectly legit to take a portion of God's income and spend it on yourself. God expects you to meet your needs, okay? That's legitimate. We see that right here in the text. But there's a second area. There's a second place where God expects me to use his blessings. Number two in your handout is that God has blessed you to provide for your loved ones. All right? For your loved ones. Let's go back to our text, to verse number 34. And notice Paul said, he says, yeah, he says, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, right, my needs. But then he says, and to them that were with me. So Paul worked to provide his own necessities, but also to provide for those that were with him, those that traveled. He had a traveling team of companions with him. He had people, obviously, that lived with him. He had people, obviously, that he felt responsible for them. So, are there people, let's apply that, are there people who are dependent on you? Every year, if you do your own taxes, you know there's a place where you claim dependents. These are people who are relying on you to provide for them. Well, that could be kids, that could be grandkids you're raising, that could be foster kids you've taken in, that could be elderly parents that you're caring for. And they are dependent on you. So how does God feel about that? Is that legitimate that I take part of his blessings and that I take care of them? Absolutely. Look in your handout, 1 Timothy 5:8. They're at the bottom of your handout on the front page. Notice that he says here, and the context of this actually is taking care of your elderly parents when they get old. But he says, if any provide not for his own, if you don't provide for your own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So does God expect us to take care of those who are dependent on us? Yes or no? Yes, he does. So again, though, I think that we as Americans, it's a struggle because we have a distorted view sometimes of what it means to provide for the needs of our children. I think that many times parents make mistakes. Many of you who are older would admit to this and would say amen to this. But I think sometimes rather than providing for our kids, we cross a line and we spoil our kids. And that's not good for them. I mean, you're not doing them any favors when you spoil your kids and you give them everything they want. You know, and when you spoil children and you give them everything that their little heart desires and everything they want, again, it's from a heart of love. I'm sure we love our kids and we want to do nice things for them. But, you know, and I'm not saying that it's sinful to give them, you know, the latest this and the latest that and the best clothes and the best this and that. I'm not saying that's simple. I'm not saying that's wrong. I think we have to question the wisdom sometimes in some of that. But I think that it goes beyond just meeting their needs, you know. And I think that God in His Word teaches that we need to meet the needs of our children or whoever it is that's dependent on us. And what would that mean? Well, again, it means making sure our kids have proper food. It's making sure that they have clothing. It's making sure that they have time and attention because we're to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture and admonition means time and attention. So our kids need time and attention. That's a need. Another need that kids have is spiritual instruction. The Bible says, train up your child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. So they need spiritual instruction. Of course, kids need discipline. They need boundaries. That's a need. That's why God gave them parents. They need discipline. They need boundaries in their life. I think that a need for kids is they need to be taught a proper work ethic so that you're not still providing for them when they are adults. They need to learn the value of a dollar. They need to learn how to work hard, you know. And so these are the true needs of children. And so, you know, we've got this, you know, picture this pool of blessing, right? And that's not some kind of like mystical thing. Oh, God's blessing. No, I mean, I'm talking about His blessing. I'm talking about the check you get at the end of the week for however you're working, all right, making money. That's the pool of His blessings. God says out of that pool, it's legitimate for you to meet your own necessities, your own needs. God said it's legitimate to meet the needs of those who are dependent on you. But then He doesn't stop there. There's one other area. Write this in your handout. Number three, last point. Ready? God has blessed you so that you can bless others. So now, up to this point, it's just kind of been about us. It's been about our family, our loved ones. And here's the danger. I'm just going to speak to you now very, very plainly in this. Because this is an issue that we deal with very, just like we talked about, you know, marriage, and we talked about some pretty, you know, deep things there with marriage, because that's something in our culture we deal with. So I have to be a faithful pastor and deal with that. This is an area we struggle with as Americans. This is an area, big time struggle. And that is we tend to be very materialistic, you know, and we spend so much of that pool of blessings that God blesses us with. We spend so much of that pool on ourselves, you know, and on our family that we have nothing or very little left to be able to be a blessing to others. And that's a tragic mistake. Many people, they have a budget that is so stretched. Picture a rubber band that's stretched as far as it'll go until it almost snaps. And that would be a picture of many people's budgets. Their wanter is so big that, and it doesn't matter how much you make, you know, bottom line is how much are you spending, right? So a guy could be making $250,000 a year, but if he's spending $260,000, it's stretched, right? So, you know, you picture a rubber band just stretched out as far as it'll go right before it snaps. Well, then you add in a crisis or you add in a catastrophe or you add in a unexpected layoff or whatever. And then, of course, the rubber band snaps, right? And I think that this is a tragic mistake. You know, this is why I couldn't believe it when I read this. The average church member of an evangelical church, I'm talking about Bible teaching churches, the average member gives less than 2.5% out of that pool of blessing. They give less than 2.5% back to the Lord to help other people. Well, according to Jesus, God has blessed you so that you could be a blessing to others. Look at verse 35. It says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. This is Jesus talking. And Jesus said, it is more blessed. More blessed. I'm waiting for an amen. More blessed. To what? Give than to receive. That's Jesus. That's not Dan Proctor. That's Jesus. According to the Bible, one of the prime motivations that we should have for working, for getting up and going to work Monday, for making money, one of the prime motivations for working is so that we can give. For a believer now, I'm talking about somebody who knows Jesus. For a believer, and that's in your handout, I want you to write that in. For a believer that knows Jesus and God lives in their heart, that's one of your prime motivations, the Bible says, for getting up and going and making money. It's so we can have the ability to be on the giving end, to give. Look with me at your handout real quick. Turn it over there. Ephesians 4:28. Look at that verse. It says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good." Talking about having a job, right? Making money. "Working with his hands the thing which is good." Why do I work? That he may have to what? To give to him that needs. 1 Timothy 6 teaches the same thing. It says, "Charge them that are rich in this world." Well, that'd be all of us today in America. Like I said, we live better than most kings in time past. He says, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy." Well, how do we enjoy it? How do we enjoy it? How do we enjoy his blessings? The next verse says that they do good, that they be ready to distribute, willing to communicate. That word communicate means commune, share. Rich in good works. Well, that's godlike. You know, working to give is godlike. You say, "Wait a minute, God works?" Oh yeah, God works. You thought he was just on some cushiony pillow up in heaven, right? Taking it easy. No, God works. The Bible says, listen, they got mad at Jesus for healing on the Sabbath day, and you know what he told them? He said, "Listen," he says, "my Father works, and so therefore I work." God works. In fact, Jesus Christ, we talk about the work of Christ, right? What's the work of Christ? He came to this earth. He lived. He died sinless life, died on the cross for our sins, was buried. He rose again from the dead. He ascended up to heaven, and he is still working today. Listen, that doesn't finish his work. He's still busy working now as our intercessor. He's mediating between God and men. Jesus works so that he can give. He works so he can give. Amen. That's his heart. I want you to understand that's God's heart. God works so he can give. Give what? Give us eternal life. Give us the forgiveness of our sins. Give us heaven, his house. Give us all of his spiritual blessings, the Bible says, in Christ. He works so he can give. That's God's heart. He's a generous God. He's so generous. And the Bible teaches us here that in your handout, it says that God desires that his children be generous so that we reflect him to other people. He wants us to go out in the community and not be known as tightwads. He doesn't want you to be known as a stingy tightwad. He doesn't want you to be known as somebody who's just about you, who's just about building your little kingdom. No, God wants us to be generous like him. He wants us to have a heart of generosity. He says, "You're more blessed." I told you about my buddy in college that whenever we go out, he'd always want to buy. You know, and I'm like, "Man, let me buy him." "No, no, man, don't rob me of the blessing. Let me have the blessing." He had such a right heart, such a right scriptural attitude. It was like, "No, no, let me have the blessing." He understood it's more blessed when we give than receive. And Paul said that we labor not so that we can hoard God's blessings and spend them all on ourselves. No, so that we can help others. He said, you know, that we give. He said, why? To support. He says, you work so you can help support the weak. What's he talking about there? Well, there's, you know, that's a pretty broad term. Our church is about helping the struggling and weak. So what do you mean? There's a lot of forms of weakness, is there not? There's people out there. Do y'all agree there's people out there that are weak in faith right now this morning? Amen? We got to help them. We got to reach out to them. They're weak in faith. There's people who are weak through infirmity. They're sick. They're in the hospital. They're dying. There's people who are weak in mind. There's people who are weak through trials. There's people who are weakened and crippled by sin, and they're in desperate need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Anthony Stocking, the ministry that today is the pickup day for the stockings, and, you know, we're helping needy families, families that are battling pediatric cancer with their kids, and, you know, Al and Jamie Franzini have started this ministry in memory of their son Anthony, 12 years old, who went home to be with Jesus last year, and that was such a tragic loss for Al and Jamie. And I'm reminded, though, of how they're using that to be generous. And I thought, you know, when Jesus died on the cross, it really looked like a tragedy to his disciples when he died on that cross. And here's the Son of God dying. You know, the Messiah is dying. And out of that tragic death, Christ's heart was to be generous and to help people. And that's Al and Jamie's heart. Through their tragedy, they want to try to help somebody. They want to try to encourage someone else that's going through something like that. And that should be our heart. And so Paul gets these elders together, and he's like, guys, you know why we exist? Do you know why there's a church at Ephesus? As a group of believers, we bind together in our talents, our abilities, our resources. Why? To impact the community. That new building we're building isn't about us. Yeah, it's going to be a blessing to our church, but that's not a Sunday thing. You guys, in case you missed it, you know, we're going to open up that building to the community all week long. We want that to be a, we want to share that. You know, how can we be, look, the new building will be a blessing, absolutely, but it's exactly what we just learned. We are more blessed as a church when we take our blessings and we share them with other people. We want to share that building. We want it to be a community thing. We want the community to come and enjoy that. We want that to be a connection point for our community. We want to share it with other people. We want to be generous. We don't want to take God's blessings and hoard them. You know, don't you love it when churches have no trespassing signs up everywhere? You know, it's like, you know, you go out to a church's playground and no trespassing. You know, it's our playground, nobody else's. You know, no, man, we want to be a blessing. We want to be a blessing as a church, and you know, when we give through our local church, we're impacting lives eternally. I think about some of the stories this year. We had a young man that was from Iran. He was a Muslim, and he was in the 8:30 service serving as an usher. And Hossein is his name. And Hossein trusted Christ this year and through our church here. And he trusted Christ. And he was exploring Christianity. He ended up trusting Jesus. And his father asked him, said, son, why would you do this? He was so mad at him. He's like, why would you give up everything in order to do this? And he said, Dad, it's because I found salvation through Jesus Christ, my Savior. Amen. I think about the stories, you know, of life change that we hear and that we've seen this year, and it's just such a blessing, you know, for Denise and I to be able to give. I can honestly tell you that I've never regretted giving to the Lord. I have never regretted that or, you know, resented that. That's the one area of my life. Because trust me, we give to a lot of different areas, don't we? Let me tell you something. I can't honestly say I have always been joyful to give to FP&L. I look at that electric bill and it grieves my heart when you have to write that check to FP&L. Grieves my heart, all right? You know, when I'm seeing the grocery receipts, it's not real happy, all right? But there is one area of my life, truly, that has been a joy for us, and that's when we give to the Lord. I've never resented that or thought, man, what could I do with that money? You know, never felt that way ever, ever. And that's the idea of being more blessed. You know, when Paul says, hey, you're able to give, man, you're more blessed. Because if you can't give and you're always on the receiving end, you can't be on the giving end, that means there's something wrong with you. And so he says, if you're able to give, man, you're more blessed. So that's not something that should be viewed as a drudgery, or something I have to do. No, it's like, man, if I've had the physical, mental, and emotional ability to be able to work and provide for my needs this past week, I ought to be hopping up and down and praising God and can't wait to show my appreciation to God for His blessings. I want to show God how much I appreciate, how much I value this pool of blessings that He's given me in my life, because you know what? They could disappear like that. They could be gone like that. But by the grace of God, any of us in this building could see that pool of blessing dry up like that. And so the idea of Scripture, that's what God means when He says He loves a cheerful giver. It's the idea of somebody who's like, man, I can't wait to do this. Can't wait to give to God. In your handout, it says that God has blessed you so that you can take part of those blessings. And again, He says, hey, yeah, meet your needs, meet your dependents' needs, but God blessed us so that we could take part of those blessings and use them to bless others. And then it says in your handout, generosity is the heart of God. Again, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He what? Gave. That verse is all about generosity. God giving so that we could be blessed. So that we could be blessed. When we hoard and we spend on ourselves, whatever we hoard and whatever we spend on ourselves, the reality is that's all going to be left behind. It's going to be forever gone when you die. There won't be any eternal reward associated with that. There won't be any eternal impact with that. We die, that's it. I read a quote. There was a great book I've been reading, and in this book, he interviewed a bunch of successful Christian businessmen. And one of the businessmen made this statement. I thought it was really a great quote. I'm going to read it to you exactly the way he said it. This Christian businessman wrote, I am basically trying to die broke. I want to give it all away while I'm alive to ensure that it gets to the right place that I intended. Giving for me is a form of worship, and it's a test of my heart. Is my heart in money and stuff? Or is my heart for God? He said, materialism is nothing more than a distraction, and it's a barrier to a growing faith. Wow, that's a good quote. In your handout, it says, what we give away will impact lives on this earth after we're dead and gone throughout eternity. That's why Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Do y'all believe that Jesus lived what He preached? He sure did, didn't He? He gave His life for us on the cross. I want us to do this. I want to just say this to you. You know how I said earlier in the message about God is such a sharer that He actually shares His home with us? He invites us to share His house with us for all eternity? If you're here today and you're not sure that you would go to heaven, to God's house when you die, we want you to know that. And if you are not sure of that, you can seek us out. We'll be in the hospitality room after church, or you can talk to someone here. If you died today and you're not sure that you would be in God's house, we want to help you get that settled so that you can know that you would be there.